Let's do something. I think about it a lot. I got up Friday morning. This actually was coming on my mind Friday morning. I got up and took a little time to stand in the mirror. It's not a real pretty sight, but I try to do that every now and then. And I stood in front of the mirror, you know, and I started to think about what I had done this week to increase and progress the kingdom of God and the church. I thought, if I sat down and made a list, what have I done to see this church increase, to see the kingdom of God expand, to see people saved, to see lives changed? It was a pretty short list. I was ashamed of myself. God bless me, I'm the only one here, I guess, that has that problem. You know, but I have that problem sometimes when I start trying to evaluate what I've done for God. Now, I'm blessed. I got out and made a few visits. I'm blessed. I got to have prayer with a few people. I'm blessed in a lot of things, but I thought how much more I could have done. And so if we came through today and I handed out a paper and I said, I want you to write down what you've done this week to promote the kingdom of God, to see the church increase, to help somebody be saved, to calm somebody in the middle of a storm, how big a paper would you need? Folks, it's time to get busy. If we're going to play church, let's just quit. If we're going to be a church, let's get busy. The opportunities God gave us, I'm thinking about with all the ungodliness and the confusion going on in the world, and I thought how God's gave us a chance that we might be the anchor in the storm for somebody, that we be the one that makes a difference, be the anchor in the storm. There's storms going on everywhere. If you can't do anything else, you might be the one to tell somebody which bathroom to go to. Amen. Well, there's confusion in the world right now. They don't know which bathroom to go to. You know, we might got to get to that. So we want to talk about the great opportunity that God has blessed us with, and it starts as individuals. Now, I've expressed to you about the starfish that one person can make a difference. I'm telling you, you can make a difference. You, an individual. And we want to pick that up in a few minutes. First, I want to start Matthew chapter 9 and read verse 36, 37, 38. Now, when we get into this, I want you to know that my prayer has been that God send workers into this church. I'm glad everybody's here today. Praise the Lord. The house nearly full, just about full. And I'm glad everybody's here. And I really pray that everybody's come to work. Amen. Sound a little different? Sound a little different? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This is Jesus. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I thought about the desire Jesus had. He said, I'm not going to fix all this. I'm not going to do it all. I'm going to have the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. And I thought about the opportunity that he gave other people that they might go out and help in this harvest. There's a great harvest to be had today. I'm telling you, it's in one place it talked about the fields were white and ready to harvest. Never greater than now do people need the Word of God brought into their life. Never more than now do they need an illustration, a testimony from God's children about how we live our life and how we possess ourselves and take care of our business in the work of God. So when Jesus said, I want to pray that the Lord send forth labor, I've thought all week about praying for laborers to come into the house of God, not just to come and sit on the bench, not just to listen to me, not just to listen to the singing, but they come in and say, I'm going to do something today. I'm going to make a difference. That when you stand at the mirror next week and ask yourself the question, what have I done this week to further the kingdom of God? You'll have an answer. You can say, well, I've done this and I've done this. You might even have to have two sheets of paper to write it down on. So we're in a position and a time God has blessed us with that we need to get busy as a church. One person makes a difference. The devil will tell you you don't. Put your foot on his neck and say, I do. God says I do. Let's look over the book of Nehemiah just for a few minutes. This is always an encouraging book to me. I read Nehemiah quite often. I get very, very encouraged by it because I see what one person did and the difference one person made. So when we start through this, I want you to understand God's gave you an opportunity. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Halakiah, and came to pass in the month of Chislew in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left to the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So we find Nehemiah down. He's carried away captive. He's a slave down here in a strange country. But when some of his people came in, he had a concern to find out how they were. Now, I think about this a lot. You know, there's times in life I'll go in the supermarket and I'll speak with somebody, and especially every now and then I'll say, and how are you doing? And sometimes before they get done, I wish I hadn't even asked. You know, I'm telling the truth here this morning. I'm sure y'all have been the same way. And I thought, how does one person have that many troubles? And most time it's something to do with the resistance to God or failure to be obedient to what God asked in their life. But Nehemiah had a desire to ask and find out how his brothers were up in Jerusalem. So he asked the question. When he asked, he began to get this. He said, well, they're in reproach. They're in bad shape. They're in great affliction. He said, the wall of Jerusalem broken down, and also the gates thereof are burned with fire. And so he sees they've got a problem. Now, that's the first thing we need as Christians to do, to look around us and decide, oh, here's some people that's got a problem. Now, what can I do to help? What can I do to fix this? So when he heard about that in verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And so he decides, okay, I'm going to pray and ask God's leadership and guidance in this, and what can I do? What can I do that might help the position that my brothers and sisters are in? I'm going to tell you, I see this all around our country. I see families in distress because the walls and the gates are broken down. The enemy's coming in. The enemy's going out at will. I'm telling you, we need to start praying walls and doors and hedges about our family, that we need to surround it with these walls of prayer. Now, Nehemiah was talking about a physical wall up in Jerusalem, but I'm telling you, we can pray spiritual walls on our family, on our friend. I believe we have the ability from God to do these things, that we first got to be concerned enough to ask, what can I do for you, and then do something about it. A little bit farther over in chapter 2, and it came to pass in the month Nisan in the 20th year Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then was I very sore afraid. So Nehemiah's heart was broken. I mean, it changed the way he looked, that he was so concerned about the brothers up in Jerusalem. And he had a desire to do something for him. So when he goes in before the king notices that something's wrong. And we're going to find that in verse 3, he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make a request? So I prayed to God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. And so we start seeing the desire in his heart with the leadership of God. Now, when I think about that, when we have a desire in our church, when we have a desire for our family, and we follow the leadership of God, there's no telling what we might accomplish. I mean, it's untold what we could do. Now, you're thinking, well, this is a little bitty church. I'm going to tell you, God can multiply us times 10,000 if he wants to. But when he started asking about it, he said, I want to go up to Jerusalem and build it. And I've thought a lot of times about this. Many times before we ever start a project, we disqualify ourselves. Amen. I've been there and done that. Well, Lord, I'm not qualified to do that. Now, I'm thinking about Nehemiah. He's a cupbearer. He's a slave down in a foreign country. What does he know about building? He could have disqualified himself. He could have heard about the gates and the wall, and he could have said, I'm not a builder. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an architect. Let's let somebody else go down and do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, God called him to do it. He knew what he was, and he knew what he wasn't, but he called him to do it. He said, Nehemiah, I want you to go oversee the building of the wall and the building of the gate and restoring the city of Jerusalem. So before you start disqualifying yourself, I want you to understand if God sends you, you can get it done. Praise the Lord, at the knowledge and the understanding of the power of God. If you'll trust that, you can get it done. Don't disqualify yourself from a position or an opportunity that we have so much in this day and time to open the eyes of a lost and dying world. God said, if I send you, you'll have the power. And so he decides to go build it. You'll find through the next few verses that he got letters from the king, and he starts getting supplies, and he goes down. And verse 11, chapter 2 and verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode on. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And so he goes out, and he sees this problem firsthand. I'm going to tell you, you really can't fix a problem until you know what the problem is. And there's times in church, and there's times in my life that I've lied to myself, tried to make myself believe that there wasn't a problem. I'm telling you, if there's a problem, we need to understand what it is and fix it. You got to first understand the problem, then fix it. And so here he is. In verse 17, he then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire, and come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. I want you to notice in verse 17, when he started making this description of Jerusalem, he said, I want you to see the distress that we are in. He included himself. Now, he wasn't part of Jerusalem at that time. He was part of the king's property down in another country, but he went back, and when he saw the problem, he said, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. And so he didn't eliminate himself, but he had this. And he said, I want us to build it that we'd be no more reproach. He was trying to keep the enemy from overrunning and coming in and out. And in verse 18, then I told them the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Praise God. I want y'all to notice something. This is the same bunch that had been there all the time. This is the same group of people that had been there all the time, that had saw the walls tore down, saw the gates burn with fire. They'd done nothing about it. They sat there and they said, oh, yeah, we're in reproach. Oh, yeah, we don't have any protection. We don't have any defense. But at the word of one man in the leadership of God, they go down and their attitude changed. Now, this is a wonderful thing to me as a pastor to see an attitude of somebody change that they say, we're not going to sit here and put up this any longer. We're going to fix it. We're going to get up and do something. We're physically going to work on this. And so their mind was changed because of one person. You think you don't matter? You might lead the guy a building of the wall somewhere in some household in this church. That if we get busy, when I think about one person went down. Same people there all the time. They'd sit there and done nothing for a long time. Then at the encouragement of one person, they get up and they go to work. What an opportunity we have at New Salem Baptist Church and many other churches around the country, around the community, across the nation. What a great opportunity we have to get up and go to work. That we're actually taking a part. We're no longer a spectator, but we're one of the players. We're active in that. When you look over a little bit farther, and I'm just going to hit a few scriptures in this. in chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's look at that in just a minute. Chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Word of God tells us why this happened. He said the wall was being built. He said, and the height thereof, they were halfway finished. And why? Because the people had a mind to work. That's the mentality and mind we need to have as Christians and part of a church, that we got a mind to work. You know, I like that. A very good explanation. He said, we got a mind to work. You want a strong church, New Salem Baptist Church? Get a mind to work. You want to see the accomplishments God sets before us achieve? Get a mind to work. All these things. In verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. So they found something hindering them. I don't know if you can think about this or not, but in my mind, you know, these walls have been tore down. They had one stone thrown off the other, and we're talking about huge stones, about probably half as big as this house. They didn't have bulldozers and stuff to move them that time. And so it talks about the rubbish. It's talking about the things that were tore down, the pieces of burned gate, the rocks and everywhere. And they talked about the rubbish that they weren't able to build the wall. It was a hindrance to them. I can see the same hindrance happening in a lot of our lives today, that we're so full of rubbish we can't do a good work. I'm telling you, we need to clean our lives up, need to clean up our rubbish pile and get that out of the way so we can do the work of God. They probably had to take time and clear this place and then build the wall. You got something in your life you need to clear of? I'm telling you, this is a clearing place right up here at these altars. You come confessing to God and asking forgiveness, and He'll clear that rubbish of your life that you might go ahead and build something productive. When we got to start looking at these things, very things, it's just over in chapter 8. I want to skip ahead some. Chapter 8, verse 1. All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And all the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And so I got thinking about the meeting they had after they got used to coming in to work. Then they started coming in to worship and praising Almighty God and hear His word. And it said, right up in chapter 8 and verse 1, and it said, and all the people gathered themselves. Have you ever thought about that? All the people gathered themselves. This church couldn't hold everybody if they decided to gather themselves. Well, if we're used to coming to here and accomplishing something and doing the work of God, it could happen that everybody might decide to show up one day. Praise the Lord. Could happen, couldn't it? Of course, part of that's the list. Pastors know about the list. We just can't find it. There's a list that goes around, I believe, in every church that says if this family, and this family is here today, that family can't come. They got to be on vacation. Or they got to be sick. Or they got to do something. If ever find that list, the house will fill up, because I'll throw it away. I believe that goes on. In verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And I think the reverence they showed to God, the respect they showed to His word, that they got on their feet. They wasn't going to sit by and listen. This is a people that's used to getting up and doing something. This is a people that had rebuilt the wall and rebuilt the gates that had been burned with fire and restored the city and brought protection to all the people therein. They were used to doing something. So when this word was read, they didn't keep their seat. They got up on their feet because they respected the word of God that much. And verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, and lifting up their hands and was bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And I thought, how wonderful that must be to be in a worship service like that, that people truly humble themselves, that people truly have respect to the Word of God. I thought, what a day that would be in the house of God when people started doing this. That people had come in, and they didn't come just to sit by and listen. They came to work. They came to accomplish something. They need to be part of the work going on. And I thought, what a wonderful day that'd be. Samantha and Shana, can y'all sing How Great Thou Art? Jake, you got that music? I'm going to bring them up, and we're going to close with this. How great is God? Question asked. How great is God? Surprised you, didn't it? You'll be all right. Everybody, if you would, stand to your feet. They're going to come up and they're going to sing this song. We're going to be dismissed for the day. Good to see everybody come this way. I'm telling you, you think about what God would have you to do, what He'd have you busy at. And what we're busy people here. Thank God for it. And I thought about, you know, all the opportunities God gives us that... all the lists we could be on about doing this and so many things, the work of God going on. So if you hadn't done that, I bet you could figure out something to do. Did you find it?